The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on Veritas, we open our 17th season with a tradition that has become sacred to this journey, beginning with Neil Kramer. Philosopher, teacher, and guide, Neil has long been a trusted voice for unveiling the profound truths that shape our existence. His wisdom sets the stage for the year ahead, offering insight, clarity, and transformation. In this season premiere episode, Neil introduces us to the Sky Theater and the Ground Theater, two realms intertwined in shaping our world. The Sky Theater, where supernatural and metaphysical forces move, influences the Ground Theater, the space of our daily lives and struggles. Together, they create a divine choreography, calling for discernment, courage, and action. Amid a world of spiritual, societal, and political turbulence, Neil challenges us to look deeper. What unseen forces shape the events we witness? How does theology unlock new clarity in these times? And most importantly, how do we step into our role in this unfolding story? Neil Kramer is here to illuminate these questions and offer his vision for what's ahead. Together, we'll explore the interplay of the supernatural and the world stage, setting the tone for a season of profound discovery. Neil Kramer is coming up next. Welcome to the Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. His website is neilkramer.com, and he joins us from the Pacific Northwest. But before we begin, let me just say this. It's been 18 times. This is the 18th interview. 17 years doing this. This is the 17th season premiere. And I always, always enjoy speaking with Neil because we both have evolved and we've developed a good friendship. And this makes it the explorations that he and I have every year are so different. But to me, it's a blessing because to me, he is a shaman-like figure who helps us set the tone for the season, for the year ahead. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome my friend, Neil Kramer. Hello, Neil. Welcome back.
Hi, Mel. I'm very glad to be with you. Thank you for those kind words. And as I said before, that's just amazing that it's that long. I can't quite believe it. I know it's been a while, like, it's because we do this in a sort of frequent fashion, but it's still just that amount of time, how it whizzes by. It's incredible.
But I tell you, I always feel bad saying this because you and I don't interact that much throughout the year, but always thinking of you, what would Neil say about this and that? And I get a good idea. But right now, it's a contrast. Every time I talk to you, there's a contrast.
Yeah.
Because every year I think, will I be talking to Neil again next year? Will something happen to me or to him? Because this field that we're in is dangerous sometimes. But for the first time in a long time, I feel that the tide might be moving in favor of us. Is this artificial reality that we're living in, or is it true what we're feeling?
I think if you have a sound view of theological reality, that is understanding what is the creator and what's he doing, it's very hard to have a negative view of what's happening. Even if, God forbid, Kamala Harris had become president, you know, Tim Walz was the vice or whatever. I mean, that would be awful, just so depressing. And to have to look at their faces and listen to their false speech would just make me puke every second. So I'm glad it's not that. I'm glad it's not that. And I'm glad it's Trump and Vance and Musk and Vivek and Tulsi and all those guys and RFK. I mean, if that's the case, if that's the theater that we're going to look at, if that's how it's going to roll, it's easier on the eye, it's easier on the ear if you have Christian values, if you have conservative values, which I totally do. You call me a shaman before, which makes me smile, but I know the sense you mean it in. Thank you. I am a spiritual person, and so I'm looking at the reality of what's inside a person. Spiritual just simply means spirit, non-physical. You're looking at breath, you're looking at wind, you're looking at vapor, you're looking at that which is not physical. That's literally all that word means, spiritual. And so if I'm looking inside somebody, I'm looking at the values they have. Do they value life, or do they have a mandate to kill, which is what the Democrats do? They have a mandate to kill life, unborn human beings, alive, God-made, conscious, able to think and feel, to kill them. So it's pretty simple. If you have a compulsion to value life, if you revere life, and if you revere morality, if you revere goodness, it's pretty simple that you're going to have traditional conservative views, which means simply you are conserving that which is precious. It's not Republican as such. I don't mean it in that manner. I mean, you're conserving something that has value. If you are not doing that, then you can vote for whoever you like. You can vote for whoever gives you what you think will bring you pleasure. But that's not the game we're playing. So I'll get into what I would like to talk about in a moment. But I just do want to say this as I was thinking about time. We were just chatting a couple of minutes before we started recording. And I do think that time is whizzing by. And for sure, as we age, our perception of time changes. It does. Because as you get older, as you've seen more seasons pass by, I mean, I've seen 52 springtimes, 52 summers, 52 autumns, you know, 52 winters now. And some listeners are, you know, probably thinking, well, that's an awful lot. How old you are? And other listeners will be thinking, is that all? I've seen 60 or 70 or 80, you know. But whatever that number is, as we do age, you know, we've seen people get born. We've seen birth. We've seen people grow up. We've seen people mature. We've seen people die. And we've seen governments in and out, as we've just said. And we've, you know, traveled around a bit and seen things around the world, seen different people over and over. And you kind of get accustomed to the patterns of life, the patterns of change and decay and rebirth. And it becomes like so familiar that time appears to go faster. It whizzes by. Whereas when you're young and you've not seen anything, it takes forever. Everything takes forever. Summers take forever. But not as you get older. But on top of that, as we approach the eschaton, as we approach the last day of time and space, time actually does accelerate. On top of that, as the last day of time space approaches, which in my view is not far away, we are in those end times, which is a good thing, time speeds up. It literally speeds up for everybody. The sort of quality, the tonality of the temporal flow changes as you approach the terminus, because in that metaphor, there's no train track of time extending beyond that final terminal. It ends all over forever, thank God. And we move into a timeless realm. Time itself is just for the function of teaching. It's just a faculty of rudimentary teaching. It's like the classroom itself is partially made of space and it's partially made of time. And soon it will be gone. And I think those two things go together. So we've got a sense of racing time, both natural and supernatural, both. So just a lot of people have said to me over this year, God, time's whizzing by. It just goes so fast, doesn't it? I'm like, it does. And if you're 25 or 55 or 75, it is speeding up. It's getting faster, which is just a little interesting observation because so many people have said it. I suspect a lot of listeners will resonate with that and think, yep, I feel that. So I just wanted to make that small point. But
is that perception, Neil? Mm-hmm. I mean, when a child, I mean, you remember when you were younger, time was slow. But as you get older, things seem to be accelerating. Is that perception?
Yeah, it's your perception. You've seen so many things. But as I say, it's happening as well in the background. So it is your perception. It's subjective. But objectively, outside of that, it's also flowing faster because as you get towards the end, there's no onward flow. And that gives the, again, the sense of acceleration, because you suddenly, you can't see ahead because there is no ahead. So if you go in 60 miles an hour, but you can see way ahead, you think, okay, it's no big deal. But if you see the terminus and you're approaching it, you have this additional sense of speeding up. So it's both. It's subjective and objective, I would say.
Sky theater and ground theater, the interplay of the supernatural on the world stage. Let's begin with this. Define sky theater and ground theater.
Okay. What I'd like to talk about is the relationship between the top-down theology of spiritual origins, that is the province of the creator himself, and how that affects the ground level, everyday happenings of life, of people, places, things, events. How are those two things connected? How are they related? How are they intertwined? How does knowledge of the creator and his nature and his character and his plans, how do those things shape what happens on the ground in our lives? What teachings in his mind, and especially right now, in the sense of, you know, down here in what we see governments and cultures and the social fabric, what teaching in God's mind is being reflected in those contrasts on earth? What's he trying to show us in this theater? Both real things and good things and false things and horrible things, evil things. What is he showing us? So this is where we have this terminology I proposed to you rather colorfully, sky theater and ground theater. So to answer your question more specifically, the sky theater is the top level spiritual architecture, the real divine source of purpose, of meaning, of destiny. The ground theater is the boots on the ground, everyday life of people, like I say, locations, objects, and happenings, events, socio-political, you'd say these days, economic, military, cultural, and then physical, emotional, intellectual, chemical, everything. Normal life, normal people, normal world. And I use the word normal here in its traditional good sense, not in its pejorative sense. You call somebody a normie, not that. So my overall idea, my proposition for this show to the listener is to consider, let's say, this scenario as we flesh out sky theater, ground theater. Consider this scenario. Consider this. Let's say that we have come to the fallen earth realm to get a spiritual education and get straightened out. Okay? And that education is multifold. There's lots to it. It's sophisticated, has many complexities. But for today's purposes, we're especially going to highlight one specific bit of it, which is the very necessary skill of discerning good and evil, to care to know the difference between those two things and to choose accordingly which way you're going to go. That is very primary, very primary. If you think about in biblical history, our ancestors were once presented with a choice to acquire the knowledge of good and evil through doing something disobedient, even though they were tricked into doing it by a fallen spirit being. Our ancestors historically chose to get the knowledge of good and evil separate from God. They could have done it with him, which, believe me, would have been a much smoother ride. So it's not like God didn't want us to have the knowledge of good and evil. He just wanted to do it with us so we can walk with him while we're doing it. Doing it the way we chose, our ancestors chose, which involves us, we're now getting the knowledge of good and evil away from God. We're far from him. He's not far from us, but most people, including myself, are somewhat separate from him. We're in an unusual state, alone on the earth. He doesn't talk to us much. He doesn't appear to us much. He doesn't physically interact with us much. It's not like that. Once it was, but not at the moment. He's far away. He's in another dimension. To him, he's close. He's right with us. And his spirit family are right with us. His host is right with us. And if you sensitize, you can sometimes get close to that and see it. And theologically, we're given the instruction that we're not really separate, as it says in Acts 17. In fact, in the Creator, we live and move and have our being. We are in Him. We're in His thought. We exist in a creation of His mind. It's real. It's stone and trees and rocks. Yeah, sure. But it's in His mind. So we couldn't be closer to Him from His point of view. From our point of view, we're separated. Okay? So we're in this fallen, separate state. And in fallenness, which is really, as I say, what is fallenness? It's separation and decay, which characterize this world. What are you doing here? You're here to refine and practice and exercise and, as you might say, deploy this intrinsic God-given faculty to distinguish good and evil. That's why you're here, to see that they exist, those things, and to have the courage to identify and name them, and to know the consequences of a good act or a bad act, to understand what they even are. So you could say, if we put the theological layer on top of it for a moment, the knowledge of good and evil is the examination of that which aligns with God's will and that which does not. And, you know, God's will, what He wants, can be characterized in lots of ways, but let's just simplify it for a moment. Let's just simply say that His will for us is truth, morality, beauty, and love. You know, the things that any right-thinking person would want, those are good things. Who doesn't want that? Those things that are misaligned, that are unaligned with His will, logically, therefore, must slide into not those things, which would be falsehood, immorality, grotesqueness, let's say, and ultimately a hatred of divine reality, not a love of divinity, hatred. Not love, hatred. And so we choose. Critically, we choose. That's what He's watching for. He's saying, what do they choose? Individually. As a whole, sure. But it's the individual He's interested in, inside. What in your heart are you choosing? Are you inclining towards goodness? Or are you inclining towards evil? And you might think, well, who would choose evil? I would say most people choose evil. They've just dressed it up as something else. So knowing good and evil is really important, really, really vital. Spiritually speaking, just generally, it is to me, without question, one of the most important things you can possibly imagine, knowing the difference between those things. It's a huge deal, right? Knowing what good and evil are and discriminating one from another is vital to the well-being and the onward destiny of your soul. Every soul who hears these words, that means you. Your capacity to know good and evil and identify them and choose determines your destiny. And God's going to endorse that. He's going to fulfill it. It doesn't get more fundamental than that. So to understand good and evil is, as you would say in a sort of biblical language, is to walk toward God and over a time to walk with Him. That's what that is, understanding those things. To deny the significance of good and evil, which is at the heart of relativism, liberalism, socialism, atheism, secularism, to deny, even to negate their very existence, these things, good and evil, to not do that, to say that they're not even a thing, so you don't have to worry about them. You're somehow, you know, beyond good and evil. That is to walk away from God. And that is the act that will see a soul burned up, gone, destroyed forever. There's a particular passage I love, actually, that's spoken by John the Baptist. Again, a real person, a historical figure. And he said, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And he says, as for me, John the Baptist, me, I baptize you with water so you can get straight and you can think right and you can repent. But he who is coming after me, and he's referring to Christ there, Jesus, he is coming after me. He who I'm not even fit to remove his sandals, John the Baptist says.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.